the readings that we've heard this morning, they center around knowing God, right? We heard in that first reading, Paul visits Athens. Where is Athens? It's the capital of what? Who knows? Athens is the capital of Greece. Very good. So Athens is the capital of Greece. Did you know that because you read that today? Okay. So Athens is the capital of Greece, and Paul is visiting there, and he's noticing all these altars to different gods, and there's even an altar to an unknown god, just in case, you know, these Greeks, these Athenians, just in case they missed one, right? So Paul, in his preaching, is trying to help these Greeks, these Athenians, know this god that they do not know, this god that maybe creation has shown them and revealed to them through what we call natural revelation, right? The ways we come to know God, just a little bit, through what he's created. It's like if I were to write a book, right, or to make a painting, you can come to know something about me from what I've created, but you can't really come to know me fully, right, through what I've created. So we can come to know something about God through natural revelation, but we can't really know God fully except through Jesus Christ, divine revelation in its fullness, right? So that's what Paul's trying to help them understand, that Jesus Christ has come, he became human, so that we can know God fully. Think about how you've come to know God and what you've come to know about him. In our lives, we come to know God gradually, right? What I know about God now, well, what I know about God, it's grown over time. And same's true for everyone here. You know, I first encountered God as a child through my family. I didn't know it at the time, but when I experienced the love of my parents, I was receiving God's love. I was learning about his love through the love of my dad, through the love of my mom, through the love that they shared with me. They were the first images of God's love in my life. When I was 8, I remember waking up at night when I was 8 years old, scared and crying. I was scared of death, scared of dying. Mom and dad, they came to my room and read scripture to me that evening, and dad talked to me about trusting in Jesus. And that night, we talked about everything that I had been hearing and learning in church. That if I believe in Jesus, trust him, follow him, obey him, give myself and my life to him, I would have eternal life. So that night, for the first time, I placed my trust in Jesus. Now again, kids, remember, I didn't grow up Catholic, so this is very different from what you've experienced. You were born, right, through baptism into the body of Christ and through the faith of your parents, right, passing that faith on to you. In a similar way, my parents passed their faith on to me, but it's a different denomination. It's not the fullness of the church. It's not the Catholic Church. So I committed to following and obeying Christ that evening. That was the first time. And I was baptized a few weeks later. Over time, my faith grew. My knowledge of God grew beyond simply trusting him to save me from death and eternal punishment. In high school and then into college, I began to understand more about God's love for me and for all of us. I began to understand that we can know God intimately, that God desires real relationship with us, that he's active in our lives, pursuing us, caring for us, loving us, and that I can be happy in knowing and doing his will, that my life flourishes and is fullest in relationship with him and listening to him, obeying him, and following him. A little later, after college, I began to understand even more, particularly about Jesus Christ and why God became human, why God became man. That in and through Jesus Christ, God has revealed himself to us most fully, like we were talking about from today's first reading, that God became human so that as humans, we could better know him, that we've been given the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that God became human, taking on our flesh, our humanity, so that he could fully redeem humanity, taking sin and death upon himself so that humanity could be restored through his resurrection and ascension. And that, as the early church fathers said, God became man so that man might become God, meaning God has shared his divine life with us. He invites us to participate in his own divine life. We begin to participate in that life now, in this life. We don't just need to wait until the eternal, life after death. We can live in his divine life now. And that, in fact, the relationship that he desires to have with us is so close that he lives his life in and through us, so that when people encounter you, right, they have the opportunity to encounter him. When people receive your love, they have the opportunity to receive his love through you. Even later, about 13 years ago, I began to understand that the sacraments of the church, the Catholic Church, these are the ways that God imparts his life to us. That through the church and its sacraments, we encounter Christ and are made participants in the very life and love that exists between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Birth and new life through baptism. Strengthening and maturity of life and faith in him through confirmation. Embracing his love, grace, and forgiveness and discipline through reconciliation and penance. Growing in holiness and bringing others to know him by sharing his very life and love selflessly and sacrificially through matrimony and holy orders. And binding this life together and providing us with food and sustenance as we journey deeper into his divine life is Christ himself present in the Eucharist, gradually forming us into his image, his likeness, his body all along the way. In our lives, we come to know God gradually. What I have come to know about God has grown over time and will continue to grow. There's only so much that we can learn at certain stages of our lives. The great truths of life take a long time to absorb, and this is certainly the case with the truths of our faith. We enter into those truths gradually over time with the experience of life. And Jesus acknowledges this in this morning's gospel. He tells his disciples that he has many things to say to them, but that they are not yet ready to hear them. You cannot bear it now, he says. There would be too much for you right now. Jesus goes on to declare that the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who will be sent to them after Jesus' death and resurrection, he will begin to reveal these things to them and will lead them towards completeness of truth. So the Holy Spirit is given to us all to lead us to complete truth. And that's what I kind of outlined earlier. That's the Holy Spirit in my life, right? Showing me more and more about who God is. Now imagine if I just stopped coming to church, let's say in eighth grade, right? After eighth grade, I just said, you know what? I think I know it all. I understand God completely. I don't need to keep going to church. I have a good understanding, right? Would I have come to be in the Catholic Church? No, I wouldn't have, because I wouldn't have understood other things that God revealed to me through the Holy Spirit over time. So we never know God well enough, right? We can always know him more. The Holy Spirit is given to us to lead us to complete truth, the truth about Jesus, God, our world, and ourselves. So this is a lifelong journey. We're always on the way. Eighth graders, in 20 days, right? I think 20 days or so, you'll end your time here. When you leave here, right, it doesn't mean that you have it all figured out. It doesn't mean that you know God. You don't need to keep coming to church, right? This lifelong journey that we're on, growing to know God, it doesn't end at confirmation. It doesn't end at graduation from eighth grade or from high school or from college or even in retirement. We can never really say, well, I finished with learning. I've learned all there is to know about God. I have the complete truth. Instead, we must always leave ourselves open to being led by the Spirit even more closely towards the complete truth, and especially towards the one who said of himself, I am the truth. May Jesus be praised now and forever.